Oh, yes. As you could tell, that was taped live, and it was recorded live, I should say, at the Capitol Studios in Los Angeles. And we have Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, his brother Nat on cornet, Joe Zawinul, as was mentioned, on acoustic and electric pianos, Victor Gaskin on bass, and Roy McCurdy on drums. And of course, the title of that tune is Mercy, 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 or Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. It all depends on the intonation, but it's one of my favorite things to listen to. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. I have to explain what this is. What's this free your mind stuff? We dispense with our regular programming format, I should say, and instead we create an open space so that you, as listeners, you have something important you want to share. It should be a considered opinion, no wimpy stuff here. We want you to emphatically state what you think. And of course, it would be nice to back it up with something called facts, if you can. But it is a way of having you define what is important. Now, you get to say what it is that you're presenting for our consideration. You would take us through the paces. This is not just you get on the air and you start yammering. No. This is Free Your Mind Friday. You have something definitive to say, and we are listening. All right? That's the whole ball of wax right here. It is a way of saying, you too, you own this program. You're part owners of this program, and you can direct the show today. You take us where you think we ought to go with the issues that you're going to raise and the matters that you'd like us to consider. Okay? That's as simple as that. But don't get on here to talk about the latest fashions and cute stuff. We're not interested in cute stuff. We're interested in serious opinions about things that are happening in your life and in our lives today. And this is your chance to say it. At 888-874-4888, we're moving along. So you got to keep pace now. You have to keep pace at 888-874-4888. We start in Berkeley today with Harvey.
Hello, wonderful Yatrice.
Hey, wonderful Harvey, what's going on? What
Well,
are you freeing your mind of today?
today I have a renewable energy idea that I'd like to share with you and your vast Progressive Radio Network audience. When students graduate from college, at the graduation ceremony, when they receive their degree, they classically wear a black robe and a mitre board hat. And a mitre board hat is a square and flat in shape and has a tassel that hangs off the side of the hat. So my idea is to paste or laminate plastic encapsulated thin film solar cells on top of the flat mitre board hat that will generate clean renewable electricity. And there's a plug and jack hidden inside of the solar hat's tassel. So say you're outside walking around or sitting in your backyard or in an outdoor cafe, you can power or recharge your cell phone, computer, or other portable electric devices with your solar electric mitre board hat. And it could become a renewable energy fashion trend. And I say it's time to get star powered. Let's get solar.
Yes, electrify your brain, literally. Thanks so
Yeah,
much,
people.
Harvey, for getting us started today.
Thank you.
Leslie from Manhattan, you're on the air. What are you freeing your mind of today?
Hello. I want to talk about COVID-19. In New York State, companion bills S-75 and A-279 passed this past month during May 2021, and they will require healthcare workers to report all immunizations administered to adults 19 and older to a state-run database. Neither version of the bill allows for New York residents to opt out of having their vaccine records reported to the system. According to John Gilmore, the co-founder of the New York Alliance for Vaccine Rights, he says this bill removes the right of all New York adults to keep their vaccine status private. It also results in the confiscation of personal health data in the name of public health. Gilmore said a database of the type outlined by the two bills would be necessary to enforce any system of vaccine passports, such as the Excelsior Pass, which was rolled out in New York in March 2021. This is the pass that says that you have been vaccinated and is on your cell phone or a paper QR code, so you can get into businesses and public places that require people with vaccines to enter. So he says, calling the law invasive and another example of government overreach, it would.
Well, I want to know what you say. What are you saying?
Pardon me?
What are you saying? What do you say?
Well, I'm telling you about this bill, these bills in New York State, because I know you have a lot of listeners in New York State, because I believe what he says. I believe that the vaccine I believe COVID-19 is a real disease, but I don't believe we need the vaccine to combat it, because they were sending people home who they said were positive for COVID-19 with no treatment besides quarantine yourself and wash your hands. No doctor ever tells somebody they're sick and then sends them home with no medication. So, in my opinion, it is this COVID vaccine is a fraud.
How could you take that position without any scientific basis?
I do have a scientific basis, but I don't have an hour show to explain it.
If you would allow me, I can refer people to sites.
But
tell me something
that them
scientific that says that you have considered this issue and you have at least one or two facts that we can consider that support your position.
Website. Just tell you about a doctor.
I'm not hearing.
Doctors. Pardon me? You're going in and out.
Yes, you are going in and out too.
Okay, so can I give you the name of at least one doctor who feels that this vaccine is hurting more people than is helping?
Well, that doesn't, it's a good thing for you. You feel a little bit stronger in your argument if you are able to locate somebody that you think has credentials to say whatever it is he has to say. But what is the overall reaction that you're trying to convey here, except, from this one doctor?
What I'm trying to point out is that COVID-19 is a mechanism for the globalists to commit mass genocide. I know that seems extreme, which is why I'm trying to give you some background. And this, for example, the emergency use authorization issued by the FDA. Their own rules say that emergency use authorization is not allowed because when you give that to a medicine or drug or vaccine, it has not been independently tested by the FDA. they go by the research that the big pharma companies give them. They don't test it themselves for emergency use authorization. It's not a licensed medicine in that case.
Yes, but when you say things, rejecting... I want you to be very careful about the things you say. When you say that an agency is now going to be given the license to commit genocide, do you understand the enormity of what it is you just said?
I'm just giving you my opinion. Yes, I do understand the enormity.
No, it's beyond opinion. When you start hurling accusing an agency of committing genocide, do you understand the enormity of what it is you're saying? And
yes,
you see this without proof.
I'm not saying they're doing it directly. They're allowing it to happen.
No.
And I've read a lot of articles by a lot of scientists and a lot of doctors who feel this way. But you don't let people, you should never let me, give actual sites that people could go to verify my information. They can go to the FDA website and look up emergency use authorization, and they'll say exactly what I'm telling you.
Your premise is shaky. Your premise is shaky when you start using words like genocide. And, you know, this essentially, you're saying that this is linked as if you have proof of it. You don't. And you're presenting it as if it were fact. It isn't.
I so, just gave you my opinion. Now, they want...
It is not just an opinion. This is what I'm trying to tell you. An opinion is not necessarily to be absent of fact. And you just say, well, it's my opinion. It's
Listen,
my opinion that the earth is square.
Are you going to give me the rest of the show to tell you where I got my facts from?
No. No, I'm not in the business of trying to figure out where you got your facts from, because you haven't established. You haven't yet established facts.
You
have quoted things. You haven't done any independent inquiry. And you're using heavy words, heavy-handed accusations with like genocide. And you just brush over it by saying, well, it's my opinion.
Listen, that's not the point of this call. The point is to make people aware.
I don't care what it is,
on.
The point of this call, according to you. I am reacting to what you are saying. And what you are saying is outrageous. Outrageous. And no responsible broadcaster would allow that. You're going to talk about genocide, and you're telling me it's a fact? These are facts? No, sorry. You fall far short. And you have to understand this. Simply saying, well, it's my opinion. It's my opinion the world is square. Now what? Now what?
Sources? You want my sources,
square?
Or do you want to argue with me about my opinion?
I'm saying that is not an opinion that you're expressing. You're expressing, you keep waffling about it. You expressed it as fact. I challenged you to give me the fact. And you said, well, I read it here or I read it there. That is not fact. Okay, and I'm not going to quarrel with you anymore about this. I'm saying to you, whether you express such opinions on this radio station or on any other radio station, you have to watch what you say. You have to watch what you say. Because when you start talking things like genocide, you are condemning yourself. You're leaving yourself open to all kinds action against you. Least of which, of course, is that you yourself haven't ascertained the facts. Thanks for calling in, but pay attention to that. Brad from Long Island, you're on the air.
Hello.
What are you freeing your mind up today, Brad?
Hi, I'm freeing up in Newsday out on Long Island. It's a Long Island newspaper. They're talking about some mishandlings that Nassau and Suffolk did have been disclosed. I don't know that it's a fact, so I won't get into the last thing you just went through with a caller. And you're both,
okay.
You're both vibrant participants, and we are here too. But moving on, they're talking about it was five times harder for blacks to get into the police force, and I think two or three times harder. I'm just quoting what I'm reading in Newsday this week. It's current. Yes. I read it yesterday. For Hispanics to get onto the police force. Myself, I've experienced illegal policing from a New York State trooper and from the local Suffolk County Police Department in several aspects, several incidents, firsthand knowledge, firsthand experience. But also, there have been problems out here. I've also experienced being incarcerated under the Sheriff's Department and the New York State prison system. And some of those entities have problems, such as out here on Long Island, there were allegedly sheriff's deputies that are associated were, I'm talking about the past, I don't know the present, were associated with some of the white supremacist groups. So they would have SS tattoos on them or related type of things. But currently I'm talking about, let's stick to the current, the news article where blacks, more than Hispanics, yet blacks and Hispanics were not able to get into the police department as frequently as whites.
Okay. And what are you doing with this information?
I'm not doing anything. I'm going to be contacting some of the local...
What does it mean to you?
There's a lot of police reform.
In raising it and sharing it.
There's a lot of police... Well, first sharing it, but then there's a lot of police reform activity going on. And the results have not been enough. For example, they're going to put a camera on a police officer, but they're going to pay him $3,000 to have that camera. Why would you pay a police officer extra money? Where's that money coming from, and what could be done with that money? Put the camera on the police officer who's already paid with public funds and tax money, and let it be. That's a John Lennon quote. But moving on,
all right, so,
why would you pay him?
So you have how many subjects covered so far? Two. That I
can
determine.
I'm going to go back to the police reform. There's not enough of it. And what came out was they're going to put cameras on, but they're going to decide if the what was videoed from a police officer's body camera, what can and can't be reviewed. But it's not theirs. It's not. Did they take it out of pocket? They're getting paid to wear these cameras. It's not their footage. It's the public's money buying these cameras, funding them. Shouldn't it be the public's view? Shouldn't whatever's videoed be viewed by the public? I personally have experienced illegal police activity. So I'm not making it up. It's not an opinion.
I didn't say you were making it up. But here's the thing. What are you after? What do you want done?
Better police reform, more community say. For example, legislator Gonzalez out here in Suffolk County is not happy with the outcome of the police reform. Excuse me. So I'd like to see them be better police, better citizens, and follow the law.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do, not right now, but for the next time you call. You have to organize your thoughts, because you want to travel along with you at your speed.
Yeah.
And keeping your focus in mind. so that we can react to it. So far, the most important point that you have brought forward is the idea of who owns, why should police officers who are public servants, why should they now also be further compensated for wearing a body cam? And in the end, who owns that body cam and its contents? Are those some of the things you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a good point.
Here's what you do. You're making, this is a very interesting topic. So you want to kind of polish it up a little bit, because we are kind of all over the place with what you're talking about. And it is hard when you put four or five things in play for us to know which to you is the main point that you wish to make. So do you mind working a little bit on that and coming back even stronger?
No, that's a great invite. I will say, instead of listening to others, when incarcerated, I picked up law books and taught myself law, and there were interesting things in there, but a lot of people aren't following those laws. And I know better. I know better. Back in the day, okay, they used to have the judge's home address and phone numbers in the law books. And I understand why they may not, but the police officer is a public paid, public tool, public person that should be following the rules in the law books.
All right, so work on it and come back.
But that's
come back
not
even stronger.
I read, that's not something I heard. That's myself teaching myself law from the law books. And I invite everybody to pick up the law books.
I do too. I think you're onto something, but you want to simplify the argument and the focus of your argument so that you make one strong point and we go, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. Positive from New York. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Etrice? I'm trying to get a better understanding of. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
I'm trying to get a better understanding of what do you mean when you say free your mind?
Free your mind is, well, during the course of the week, things come to your attention via news coverage, or you read it in the paper, or you hear it on the radio, and it provokes a reaction in you, and you have time to think about it, and you take a position on it, and you share your position in this forum.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether people agree or disagree. It matters that you make your point.
That you make your point. So when you say make your point, do you really, are you actually saying that your point has to be proven? It has to be a factual situation? Or you're just saying you have the ability to express yourself? What do you mean by that?
No, we have to go beyond this business of expressing ourselves, because, you know, you can take everybody to court by just expressing yourself. You have to know how to express yourself these days. What I'm saying is you have an opinion of some sort based on what you've read or seen or listened to or just were thinking about. You have a position on something. You develop it as a small, like a thesis, a small argument.
Right.
But that makes sense. It's logical. You can demonstrate that you have looked up a thing or two. You are citing sources that bolster your argument. And therefore, we are likely to believe. We are likely to be sympathetic to your conclusion.
Mm. I understand. You know, can you see how that sometimes, because I'm observing people calling in at times, and I see a level of discouragement sometimes based upon some of the critique that you present to them based upon their opinion about things or their statement about things, to be more exact?
And well, if I may react to that, the thing is, we have gotten very sloppy, generally, across the board, at all levels. We say things without being aware of the consequences or the import of what we say. We just think that, hey, I'm on radio, I could say whatever I want. No, you have responsibilities when you are saying something for public consumption. You are responsible to at least indicate that you have considered the integrity of what it is you say. You can't just make statements willy-nilly that may impugn somebody's character or that it's dead wrong and shows no effort at all to ascertain the fact. You can't be that careless and reckless. And people are now in the habit of saying or covering up that sloppiness by saying, oh, well, it's what I think, it's my opinion. Yeah, but you have a rotten opinion. You have an ill-considered opinion. You don't have an opinion.
Thank you, Eutrice. Thank you.
Huh? But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying clearly. I just wanted to get a clear understanding on what you are doing in that regard, you know.
Because we all have to pull our socks up. We can't operate with the old okey-doke and whatever happens, happens. And you know when you find out the necessity to put some extra energy into something? When you get sued.
I'm glad you explained that, sister. I, you know, we go back. You probably don't remember me. You know, with brother. What's the brother? He's lost his wife. I'm so the attorney.
Maddox
lost his wife. From uptown, from Manhattan. He was down with the Tawana Brawley. Lost his wife. You know,
and Mason?
Who? No, the one that, the brother that was, was one of the attorneys that represented Tawana Brawley.
Okay. We'll just, let's.
You know who I'm talking about, right? You know who I'm speaking about, right?
Well, there's a bunch of people. Go ahead.
Well, lost his wife. Lost his wife not too long ago. And I met you through him at the O'Berry Dempsey Center back in the days.
Oh.
So, yeah, this is back. This is a while back. Back when they had I think it was the townhouse meeting. I don't know if you remember that. Back when the UAA men used to have a lot of hosts and a lot of...
I used to attend those quite regularly. Free your mind is very important. It could be very, very useful.
I'm glad you explained that because I know you have good intentions about this. That's all. I wanted to get your understanding about that. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling in today. 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. And we have noted, you see, things that we didn't even consider before as being important. Very important. Because in the end, we're talking about you individually being an agent of change, influencing people's opinions. But you should do it with authority, and you should do it with knowledge, and you should do it indicating that you have taken the time to assemble facts. People may or may not agree. That's okay. But you don't want to be caught just yammering. That's what I call it, yammering, people who just talk. And nothing they would have said in the course of an hour would be worth remembering. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Yatrice. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. You know, this is the one thing I love about this audience. Very polite. Very, very genteel people. I like that. I like the way we behave with each other.
There's something to be said for good manners. I mean, it's, I think it's lost as far as the modern society, especially in the art of conversation. I heard the previous caller talking about the vaccination and the process, and I agree with her, but I just wanted to clarify from my standpoint. First of all, my information is based on a couple of things. There's an article, a 30-page article. It's very deep. You have to be into scientific, you have to be into the scientific method to really get a clear grasp of it. I had to read it twice myself. It's by an author. His name is Nicholas Wade. And he went in depth as to the origin or the quote unquote alleged origin of this COVID-19 virus. And he pointed out several things in the article, not to go into too many details, certain precursors, certain characteristics of this virus that prompted to be man-made, things that wouldn't happen in nature. And he drew correlations between other viral outbreaks, SARS and MRSA, and this virus, number one. Number two, Anthony Fauci has a patent on what is called gain-of-function research. That's what's coming out now. That's what Joe Biden wants the CIA and intelligence forces to examine. Gain-of-function research is a very dangerous proposition. An analogy would be if you lived on an island with a volcano and you knew how to make your volcano erupt, you made it erupt lightly to see how people would react. They're creating viruses that are more susceptible to human beings to see how they can handle a viral outbreak. And this Wuhan lab was one of the premier labs in gain-of-function research, and had Dr. Fauci and Dr. Danzig had contracted this lab to perform gain-of-function research in 2017 because a moratorium was placed on gain-of-function research in America in 2014 after the Society of Virologists went before Congress and said, look, this gain-of-function research is like lightning in a bottle. We don't need to do it. And they placed a moratorium on it, so it was banned in the United States. The same practices and the same scientific information was transferred to the Wuhan lab, which now the Wuhan lab is in the process of destroying and deleting.
I have to stop you for your own good. Everything you say or have said so far is very profound. It's very troubling and it's scary.
It's verified.
Guess what you didn't do?
What's that?
All along as you made your argument.
What?
You made it all rest on you. You should have made it clear. This is not you talking. You didn't do these investigations, but you attribute it to the source.
Yes, that makes your argument.
I could listen to you all day long when you say this is what is reported. This is what was said.
Excuse me. This is what Nicholas Wade has written in his 30-page article. You can also refer to a book by Dr. Peter Breggin. I have the book, but I don't have it in front of me right now. But the name of the author is Dr. Peter Breggin. This is where I'm getting my information from.
Now, do you see the difference right away, even in your approach to laying out your argument? Do you see how you have bolstered your argument, whether people agree with you or not?
I understand. You have to lay your bona fides down. You have to lay your source
material
down.
All right. Amen to that. Amen. All right.
Before you extrapolate any type of theories or analysis. Now, like I said, these are my two main sources, the 30-page article by Nicholas Wade and a book by Dr. Peter Bregan. If I, when I get home, I'll find a book and I'll tell you next week. But basically what they're stating is that it is entirely possible that this virus was manufactured as a as an offshoot of gain-of-function research and that it escaped from the Wuhan lab. The Wuhan, now this is specifically from Nicholas Wade. There is a thing called BSL, biological safety levels. To work on a virus, to work on gain-of-function research, you need to have a minimum BSL of 4 or higher. The BSL is run from BSL level 1 to BSL level 5. The Wuhan lab had a BSL level, of a basic security level or basic biological safety level of 2. A dentist's office has a higher level than that. So you had people doing research that was dangerous in an unsafe environment, in an unregulated government, and it escaped. Now, the quickness that the vaccine was developed with, the speed at which it was developed with, warp speed, it could have been a, now this is my, let me qualify this, this is based on my research and my speculation. The vaccine could have been developed so quickly is because they had an idea of what they were trying to fight. And the gain-of-function research could be a direct offshoot for this vaccine. Now they're talking about you'll need booster shots. Now they're talking about large amounts of money. They're talking about large medical or constituents. They're talking about pharmaceutical companies having lifetime contracts to produce certain chemicals that they're making us shoot in our body. They're talking about vaccine passports. All I'm saying is that keep your eyes open and watch the game. Because there are a lot of people that are making a lot of money, and if the future for a lot of money and a lot of social control and government intrusion behind all this. And if we don't see it, and we don't hold our reporters accountable or become reporters ourselves and look at the things, because initially the idea that the Wuhan it was the China virus and they blamed it on Trump and they poo-pooed anybody who had any type of logical or factual explanation of how this could have happened. They poo-pooed them. They pushed them out of the media. They said you're crazy. They called you a conspiracy theorist. There's nothing wrong with having a conspiracy theory. If you can prove
it. I want to congratulate you because you just upped the game. You did not make statements and left and you left them out there hanging. And people were free to say, well, this is what Ed said. No, you made it clear. This is where I got this information. And this is what this information is suggesting. You are not expressing a personal opinion because that's not your world. You have no credentials in that world. But
that's not
you,
good journalism.
I'm sorry?
That's not good journalism. Journalism. A journalist doesn't have a personal opinion. A journalist presents the facts, lays out the case, and allows you to draw your own conclusions.
That's the point. So when people say, well, that's my opinion, to cover all the dents and the holes in the argument, we can't accept that anymore. We have to insist that you add some kind of credibility to what it is you're saying, whether people agree or not. You see, and this brings us to a whole new level of discussion. We're not just, as I go back to saying, yammering. We're not just yammering. We're talking and drawing on facts, or not facts, or on information presented to us from credible sources. That makes a huge difference. And that makes everybody's role that more important and strategic. So I'm encouraging people to follow this template that has been laid out. And you see, you can hear the difference. You can say, oh, wow. He didn't say that this is what I discovered or this is my opinion. He cited his sources. That makes a heck of a lot of difference. So we're not talking aimlessly anymore. Thank you so much for being our tour guide today, and thank you. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice. Excellent program today. Thank you. The thing I want to bring up today is, because I think this ties in with what some of your other extremely perceptive callers have brought up, it's the idea, I think the biggest propaganda term functioning over the last 16 months is follow the science. And I want to demonstrate that this is a propaganda term because I think the layman has a mistaken idea about what science actually is. I wonder if people know that probably at least half of the so-called scientific community does not accept the idea that there is this unified thing called science. Science is a mixed bag of opinions and procedures and acknowledged facts and denied facts, principles, some accepted, some not. But it's not a coherent unit. It's broken up into different subdivisions, you know, psychology, biology, hydrodynamics, all these things that have their own subcategories and specialties. And they have completely different criteria. So, you know, a molecular biologist has a completely different view of an epidemic than a physician. A physician wants to deal with individual cases, whereas a molecular biologist wants to deal with theoretical principles that are easy to understand. I can give you an example. I used to ride the mass transit with a charming woman who was the head of an astrophysics lab. And we used to discuss things. And, you know, she pointed out to me that, well, I mean, she could tell you more about this than I could, but, you know, we postulate that 90% of the matter in the universe is what they call dark matter. Well, they call it dark because nobody has the slightest idea what it is. You just have to postulate that it exists, because if you don't, all the previous science blows up. So you have to assume it's there. Now, that's 90% of the matter in the universe. You don't even know what it is. Okay, so we also discussed, she also pointed out there's this thing called the three-body problem in physics. You can't figure out what's happening when three bodies are in motion. The equations are too complicated. So she pointed out to me, for example, if you take a cup of coffee and pour cream into it, you know, she can give you entirely the chemical and molecular composition of the cream and the coffee. And when you mix them together, she can give you the same measurements and tell you all about it. But when you, what's happening when you mix the cream and the coffee together, all the natural laws are supposed to be known, but you can't solve the equations because it's just too complicated. They'll never invent a supercomputer that can figure it out. So, okay, that's cream and coffee. Now, when you're talking about complicated human organisms, you know, and how a disease works, well, I've read medical journals for, you know, most of my life, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm interested in it. And you read the summaries and you can kind of figure out what's going on, you know. Well, how do they decide what kind of drugs are worth taking for, you know, your heart problem or something? It's not because the science of it is understood. They just do epidemiological studies with control populations to see if one of the sample populations takes this drug and the other sample population takes the other drug, which one lives a little bit longer. It's basically measuring. Now, you can call that science if you want to, but it's the kind of science anybody can do who can count. You see, science is not religion. It's not magic. There isn't this group of unified scientists who come down with the truth. That's not how science works. It's done by human beings, and you have to separate what we think the science may be, and even basic things are debated in every field. Nobody accepts one unified view in any field. So you have to take what we think the science may be at the moment, and you have to understand that all of this takes place under an economic system that we're all subject to. So some money goes here for research because it's profitable, and other areas of research that are not profitable don't get any funding. So they'll say things like, well, take this drug because there's no evidence that it will hurt you. Well, what if the studies haven't been done? So that doesn't tell you anything, see? This is what I'm trying to get at with this whole thing. You know, it's just who decides what the current rules are. You know, you can go back to the Spanish Inquisition. You know, Remigius the Inquisitor believed, and it was, you know, the accepted fact at the time that if you didn't burn the children of witches, they would grow up to become adults who would end up in hell. Now, with the accepted standards of the time, it was completely correct. That was, everybody would have agreed with that. That was the standard of the time. But how long ago was it? Would you accept the science of 50 years ago, the medicine of 50 years ago? You know, when we were cutting and poisoning and irradiating people without looking at any alternative methods of treatment, which were well known and had no dangerous consequences and were successful. So it isn't measured by success or anything like that. It's because this is a human undertaking, and the people who control it have certain goals, not other goals. And you have to make your decisions from there, I think, when you're talking about science. Don't just accept it that there's this group of mandarins who understand all things and are coming to you with this revealed truth. That's elevating them into a priest class. That's not what they are.
Down with the priesthood.
Right. Yeah. These are not.
Thank you, Marcus. You make a
good point. Thank you very much, Patrice.
Excellent point, as a matter of fact, today. Thank you. Thanks so much. I am having a great time now in the course of this program because it didn't take long for people to get the point. We have to up our game, and we can't just make statements willy-nilly. We have to present what I keep calling considered opinions, including your own. And so we become more valuable in this thing we call struggle. Jerry from New York, you're on the air, but you don't have much time. Jerry, are you there? Okay, Lenny from Queens, you're on the air.
Hi, Beatrice. Good afternoon, Professor.
Hello. Good afternoon.
According to, everybody was saying science, but there is something that they call the Koch postulate that even Fauci should adhere to. According to the Koch postulate, when you get a drug, you should at least try to find out how it works in different part of the study. If you study it on this type of population, you get it, and then you should be able to reproduce it. That's what the Koch postulate is about. So according to the science, and in the interest of Yeming, isn't Fauci himself not adhering to science? Why would he call an mRNA vaccine a vaccine? It's not a vaccine. It's a treatment that has like a patent of some type that is reproduced and that gives you different effect on different type of population. Like Gavin will just find out. If you use the Koch postulate, you should be able to reproduce the very effect that you desire, and therefore, according to that Koch postulate, their science is reproducible, and you can get the exact result that you're looking for. That's what their science says. So according to them, in the interest of Yemen, if part of a research is done just according to that, they should be able to find something that works, not, you know, guessing. Even them saying that.
We'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. We're out of time. We have more things to learn, and it's also frustrating. We need at least another 8 hours, but I'm thankful for what we got today. And every day, I'm thankful for your participation and contribution to the collective. I really appreciate it. So it's Friday. Tomorrow is the beginning of the weekend, of course. Surround yourselves with people who bring good things into your life, and hopefully you reciprocate, and find some time to relax and, you know, experience some joy. And then we meet up again on Monday and start all over again. Thank you all so very much. Bye-bye.